All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Hey, they're on TV. They must be famous. Our heroes.
They're watching themselves?
Yes, on Channel 5 right now. They're being interviewed. They're in our studio, and we'll talk with them around 5:15 this afternoon.
I think we should do it now.
All right, we'll do it right now. Fine.
I think we should do it now. I'm so excited.
Just on TV, now you get to be on the radio,
people
young man.
Always
hey,
say,
you guys
like,
need to pull these microphones towards you, please.
People always say to me all the time, and Scott, you too, they go, what are you going to talk about today at like 9 a.m.? If you had said to me at 9 a.m., we are going to have a couple of guys from a glass company talk about saving a guy who was dangling 23 stories up above Kansas City, I would have been like, yeah, that squares.
So let me read the backstory very quickly and then introduce our guests.
Yep.
This is from Channel 9. Kansas City fire crews put tools and training to work in a scary situation that unfolded in downtown Kansas City today. Fire crews were called to rescue a window washer who had become trapped between the 22nd and 23rd floors of One Kansas City Place. If you don't know what that is the biggest building downtown, the big blue glass building. And they couldn't decide whether they were going to pull him all the way up to the top of the building.
Floor 43, by the way.
Or have some guys come in and cut open the window nearest him and pull him into the building. They went with option number two. Joining us in studio, the two young men that did just that from Santa Fe Glass, Lucas Berry and Etienne Wagers. Gentlemen, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Little heroes. Lucas, lean in a little bit closer to the mic. How weird is it that you're in here talking to us and then you turn around and you see yourself on the news?
It's kind of crazy. I mean, I thought about it. We're on TV and boom, just there I am, on the screen.
So you were kind of around the general area, Etienne, is that right, when you guys got the call that there's this guy dangling 23 stories up above?
Yeah, we were working on the 12th floor.
So you were kind of nearby. You were just below him.
Yep.
So you do what then? Lucas, you guys go outside? Can you see him dangling? Or did they tell you get up to floor 23?
We actually had the supervisor come up tell us that the fire captain wants to talk to us. So we went back to the first floor and they told us that basically there's this guy dangling outside and they need us to basically take out the window and help him get this guy back inside.
Did you think he was kidding? Like, when they said the fire captain wants to see you, were you like, what?
Like, it's like going to the principal's office.
Why?
To be honest, I was kind of amped up. I was ready to go. I was like, let's go get this window. I get this guy back in here.
And it was just, Eddie, was it just the two of you there?
Yeah. It was just two of us.
Okay, so you go up to floor 23, right? Because you want to bring him up, not at the same level that he's on.
So he's dangling right below you at this point.
He was dangling like in the middle section of this window. So like we went to the bottom floor first to try to see it, but he was too high. Then we went up above because they had to pull him up to bring him in.
Was it into somebody's office?
It was into a vacant office.
It was vacant.
So I still can't believe this. The windows look really big, but it's so high up. I think most people drive by these big buildings. You don't even think about how big those windows are. How big was it?
It was probably like 155 pounds, somewhere around there, that piece of glass.
And then how do you take it out physically? Like, Lucas, what did you have to do when you decided this is the floor we need to be on to save him? How do you get the window? You just take a hammer to it?
No.
Duck!
We pried out the rubber around it. Then like there's these center caps.
Yeah.
So E was doing the right side. I was working on the left side. We busted them out. Then kind of like you can wiggle the window free enough where you can lift it up and pull it out. So that's kind of what we did.
Well, now, wait a minute, Eddie. If the window is 150 pounds, right?
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not saying you guys are weak. You look like strapping young men. That's 75 pounds per. Is the glass still in one piece?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did not break it.
When you peek out, do you see his feet or his head? Like, where was he in, like, from where you were?
His head.
His head.
Yeah.
And the first thing he says is what?
Took you long enough.
He said this is the fastest a glass company's ever gotten out. That's exactly what he said. And we were just happened to be there on site.
So this wasn't his first rodeo?
I assume not.
Was he just calm?
He didn't even look like he was stressing out. He was just like,
what up?
Pretty much. And once we brought him up, you can kind of see a sense of relief.
Yeah.
But he was talking about his legs losing circulation, his legs for hanging there for so long.
He was hanging there for like 30 minutes or 40, which honestly, this was a difficult rescue. I mean, fire had to figure out like what's the best way to get to this guy. But I would assume after a while your feet start tingling.
Right.
So if he was a window washer and you guys were on the 23rd floor, but he was pretty much down by the 22nd, I presume he had already passed that window. Did it look clean?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm sure it has fingerprints on it by now. But.
I bet it does now. So how long then, once you get the window popped out, guys, then fire comes in and does their thing and they just like rappel him in? Or what did that look like?
Yeah, they hooked him up with a bunch of like rope and wrapped it around like a pillar and just pulled him in.
Oh my God. This is the craziest day you've ever had on the job. Which, by the way, Lucas, you've not been there very long.
Little less than a month.
Seriously?
Seriously.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
Jeez Louise.
Antoine, how about you? How long have you been with Santa Fe Glass?
I've been with Santa Fe for about 2 years now.
And then have you ever had to do another rescue like this? Or you do a lot of glass install and probably removal, but not involving human beings.
No, it was definitely a first time.
Do you feel famous today?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, you're all over my TV. If you're on TV, you're famous.
Right. And did he ever say anything else? Like, did you get to meet him or anything like that? Or after that, he probably had to get checked out.
Yeah, he didn't say much to us after that.
Yeah, I bet. Probably just, thank you. Thank you.
I'm assuming you put the glass back.
No, we didn't. Whoops. Put the glass back.
Oh, you guys might want to head downtown. There's some work still left to be done. So what do you do with the glass then?
They had some other glass guys that I guess that company uses to put it back in.
Yeah. You were the removal.
Somebody else is the putter backer.
Yes, you are the most important part.
Well, you guys are great. Thank you for coming down. We got a kick out of this story in large part because it ended so well.
Oh, of course.
I mean, this could have gone any ways to sideways. But thank you for what you did. I hope you enjoy the 15 minutes of fame.
I love it.
And it was great to talk with you guys.
Lucas Berry, Eddie, and Wagers, thank you guys so much. And I'm sure he thanks you and his family thanks you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
There was Santa Fe Glass. I do appreciate the time. Thank you for it. Quick break. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. The Royals game against the Nationals, I believe that's who they're playing today, has been postponed.
Oh, thank God the bleeding will stop for a while.
The what will stop?
The bleeding.
Oh, the bleeding, yeah.
Whew.
It's a weather delay out in Washington, D.C. Royals are currently number six in the American League playoff. The Minnesota Twins are a game back. Ooh. It's getting close.
Yeah, we made a couple comments earlier in the months of the baseball season about how we were basically dead set on making the playoffs unless a few crazy things happen. And good job, Royals. All those crazy things have happened.
Crazy things are happening. Yeah. The Mariners, by the way, are a game and a half back.
I don't want to speak it into existence, so I won't, other than to say it was a very narrow set of circumstances. Like doomsday circumstances under which we could be in this position, yet here we are.
They're meeting them. They're 2-8 in their last 10, lost 7 in a row. They have the Nationals this week. Not a great team, but not an awful team. Ugh. And then they go and play the Braves in Atlanta, which is a pretty decent team. The Minnesota Twins are currently playing Miami. And then they have the Orioles for their last series.
Let's go Orioles.
Let's go Orioles.
Went out.
Yeah. I mean, God willing, they get into the play. It would be just so sad you know, because they're a great group of guys. It's been a hell of a season. Nobody would have predicted 82 and 74.
And can I please remind everyone, please go to MLB.com under the Roger Clemente tab. I'm going to say this every single day until we get this done for Salvi. Vote for Salvi for the Roberto. Whatever. For the Mr. Clemente Award. And here's why. Samuel, stop laughing. Here's why. Who was Roger? Maris? Anyway, you know
Clemente.
What I mean. Go to MLB.com. Here's why. Never in the history of the Royals ever.
Wow.
Shut up, Scott.
I don't even know what to say.
I knew it started with an R. Never in the history of the
it's
Royals.
One of the most famous players of all time. Is it Babe?
In your defense, if you search the Roger Clemente Award, it will pull up the Roberto Clemente Award.
Okay, thank you. People know what I mean.
I don't think they do.
Here's the deal. Never in the history of the Royals has a Royals player won the Mr. Clemente Award.
Never in the history of baseball has anybody called Roberto Clemente Roger Clemente.
And Scott was explaining the other day that the reason our Royals players are always snubbed is because we aren't like New York or California where they have bajillions of votes because there's more people there. And so all
this
you
is
have,
this is a popularity contest.
Yeah, it is. It's a population contest.
Yeah.
And so we have fewer people
to vote
in our metropolitan area than they do in, say, New York City.
Or San Francisco.
Whatever. Yeah. So go to MLB.com. I'm going to say this every day until you vote 100 times. And go click. All you have to do when you go to MLB.com is click on the Clemente thing. It will give you the list right in front of you. Scroll to S, Salvador Perez. Remember, he played wiffle ball with those sweet boys. And then he had those boys out to the stadium.
And that's kind of what the Roger Clemente Award is about.
Well, I think if you asked Roger, he would tell you.
Now, there is a Roger Clemens.
Thank you. I knew I had heard that name somewhere.
That's not Roberto Clemente.
Whatever.
Totally different people.
I'm sure if you asked Roger,
one's Hispanic, one's
or
white.
Roberto, they would both say Salvi is very, very deserving.
He is, and the award is not only just for your value to the team, what you do on the field. It's also about community involvement, being an ambassador of the sport, that kind of stuff. And I don't think you would be, I don't think it would be easy to find somebody who is better than that or at that than Salvi.
Not even Bob Ruth.
Yeah. Or Roberto Maris. You know he had 61 home runs one season?
Yes.
That's incredible.
He was great at what he did, whatever that was.
This teen has filled some pretty big shoes. Eric Kilburn Jr., a 16-year-old football player at Goodrich High School in Michigan, has officially set not one but two Guinness World Records. Mm-hmm. The 6'10", 16-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Has both the largest feet and the largest hands of a living teenager. Okay. What does it mean, Dana?
No!
He's 16!
That's why I said it off the mic!
Wow!
So, a little inside baseball, no pun intended from the previous conversation.
Roger.
There's a little button here that says Control Room TB. That means Control Room Talkback.
Uh-huh.
And if your microphone is off and you touch that button,
yeah,
Sam can hear you in the other room.
That is correct.
And I said the 6'10" teen is both the largest feet and largest hands of a living teenager. And out of the corner of the room, I hear, you know what that means.
Didn't listen to the age. I'm sorry.
His feet measure 13 and a half inches, making him a shocking size 23 in men's shoes.
You know that means it's very hard to find him shoes.
Right, which is drastically larger than the typical range of 8.5 to 9 for a boy his age.
Of course.
Meanwhile, his hands cover 9.13 inches, much larger than the 7.4 inches.
The span of it, like if you put your hand in front of your face or you're going, hi.
His hands cover 9.13 inches. I would imagine that's from here to
tip of your thumb to tip of your pinky.
Okay. Well, that is impressive. Congratulations, young man. I have another award
winner.
Remember,
he is a young man.
I have another award winner that I would like to talk about. right now, and his name is Jack Williamson. He is a bagpiper from Topeka, Kansas, who recently placed fourth in the B-grade March Strathspey and Reel event at Northern Gathering Bagpipe Competition in Inverness, Scotland. Williamson believes he is the most successful Kansas-born bagpiper ever to compete in the sport.
Excuse me? That's not in the article.
Williamson believes he is the most successful Kansas-born bagpiper ever to compete in the sport.
It's not a playing an instrument.
I am reading the news.
Okay.
Williamson and his father Jim began taking bagpipe lessons together in 2007. With those, you know, you've got to have some.
Yeah,
lung.
Wait a minute. That most certainly is a sport. It Your is, lung capacity.
You have to have a lung capacity like Michael Phelps to.
Your blow strength.
Bagpipe. Yes. He's
and being able to squish the bag under your armpit like that?
You know what they call them? Pipers.
So is an accordion player? Is that an athlete too?
He is a world-class piper.
What about a tuba player? I mean, think about all the weight that they're carrying.
I love this. Listen to this. After finding out their ancestry included a wee bit of Scottish, Topekan Jim Williamson and his 10-year-old son Jack, he was then 10, began taking lessons together in 2007 to learn how to play the bagpipes.
I love the bagpipe. Congratulations to this young person.
I think it's very haunting and very beautiful.
The sound of a bagpipe is just beautiful. I really believe that.
It reminds me of grade school because we used to have a bag...
Pipist.
Piper. Mm.
Sure. On the first day of grade school every year at my grade school, it was super cool.
Jim, the father, by the way, has a Facebook page. He is an experienced bagpiper who has played countless funerals, weddings, birthday parties, retirement parties, and other events.
I want a bag, because I know I'll be the first to die on this show. I want a bagpipe at my funeral.
Done.
You want a bagpiper?
A bagpipist.
You're not Scottish. You just want one because you like it.
That's not true.
His name is Scott.
Ish. Parks. He's Scott. Ish. Can you just blow into one of those pipes, sir? We don't need all 12.
Oh, come on now.
Epic.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's beautiful.
But I would love to learn, but I'm not going to because I'm not taking on any new sports this late in my life.
There is a golf course that I played in Scottsdale or Phoenix. I don't remember which one. It was several years ago. Where as the sun is just setting over those glorious mountains, this bagpiper starts playing and walking down 18. And then he goes all the way around the outdoor bar. We were there in the fall, so there's this huge fire pit. He does a traditional Scottish toast.
Are you just playing the same clip over and over again?
I absolutely love it. And they also do it at Kierland in Scottsdale.
Do you think like an avid bagpipist can tell the difference? Because I'm going to be honest. I love the sound, but every song sounds the same.
Oh, I disagree.
Where's the bagpipe in this part?
It's probably about to start right now.
There you go. Nice. That's the Lord of the Dance.
Because this one sounds different.
Because it's a violin.
That's a great point. Are you sure about that?
That is a violin. Oh, my God. Do they all wear kilts?
I've never seen a bagpipist without a kilt on.
It would be odd, right, if they walked out in like an Adidas tracksuit.
And it's always plaid.
Always plaid.
Red and green.
Yes.
If they came out bagpipering, looking like
shorts.
Me, I would think they were not a legitimate bagpipist.
Well, they will be dressed that way at your funeral.
Congratulations to sweet Jack Williamson, who placed fourth. And I think that is a global competition, by the way.
By the way, from the text line, Daniela Wright is my favorite radio talk show host.
Oh, yep. You're welcome.
Roger Clemente was a great baseball player for the Pirates back in the day. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie III.
Please vote for Salvador Dali at MLB.com.
Salvador Dali.
Very prestigious award.
I'm Scott here on KMBZ.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the number one hit in Scotland last year, it's called The Flower of Scotland.
Speaking of mispronunciations, you just said the Eyes of Scotland. I looked at him, Sam, like, I'm pretty sure it's Ides.
No, I thought it was like Ides. I was thinking, not Ides, like the Ides of March.
It is the Ides of Scotland.
No, it's the Flower of Scotland. You're not listening.
It is the Flower
then
of Scotland.
Then why did you say Ides?
Because that's what I thought he said before, and I was just confirming.
Is anyone paying attention on this program?
Not to each other, no.
Do they ever?
No. story from the Daily Mail. The quickest commutes in the U.S. have been revealed, with the shortest trip to work coming in at just under 22 minutes. Now, keep in mind, this is for metropolitan areas, not for, like, Lawrence or something like that. Rideshare company Lyft and Harris Poll teamed up to conduct a wide-ranging analysis of which cities had the fastest, cheapest, and even cleanest commutes. Based on their data, three cities stood out for their shockingly fast commutes. Would you care to guess? They're medium-sized metropolitan areas.
I was going to say, Oklahoma City?
No, but you're in the right
wheelhouse. Des Moines-ish?
Yeah. Columbus, Ohio, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and probably the biggest one, I think, would be Memphis, Tennessee. All three cities had commutes of 22 minutes or less, with Columbus and Memphis also offering the cheapest commutes. The average worker, and this is for all the cities across the United States, including Kansas City, Chicago, Memphis, San Francisco, the average worker spends 26.8 minutes traveling to work each direction.
26.8
minutes in traffic each way.
Well, there's no way that includes places like L.A. where they spend up to 4.5 hours each direction.
Why would you ever live anywhere where you had to drive hours?
I wouldn't.
To get to work.
I've never understood it. Never in a million years. You couldn't pay me $2 million, $3 million a year to live in L.A. I would not do it.
I knew somebody who lived in Palmdale,
if you know the area, east of L.A.
Okay. And they would drive into L.A. to their downtown L.A. job every morning, and they would get to the office at 5:30 in the morning. Their job didn't start till 8. They would get there at 5:30 because if they left any later, they would be late.
Really?
Yep.
The only way to beat the traffic.
They would leave super early so that they would beat the traffic.
That's crazy.
At that point, that's on you. At that point, that is on you. Can we talk about Ian for a little bit? What in the Sam Hill is going on with John, the hurricane? What is going on? Reed Timmer is posting about this. We have meteorologists in the studio here standing on top of maps.
Yeah, that was on the CBS Evening News.
MSNBC just switched away from it.
So here's what's going to happen. And we're heading for Cancun on this weekend. It's going to skirt just to the east of Cancun.
So they think.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they usually get it pretty close to perfect. I mean, and then it's going to go north and then northeast and hit right around Tallahassee. Read that, the bend in Florida, what they call the Dan, don't they call that the bend?
the Big Bend, we have two tropical systems. We have John.
Let me interrupt you for just a second. That's where the Panhandle of Florida joins the lower peninsula of Florida. That's the Big Bend.
Well,
that's
the Big Bend is the piece that sticks out into the water.
I see what you're saying, which is roughly just west of the same thing.
Okay. Area.
All right.
Yeah. It's remote in that area. It's near Tallahassee.
Yes.
Yeah, that whole part there. But yeah, we've got two systems. We've got John, which is in the Pacific, and it's near Acapulco right now. And now we have Helene, Tropical Storm Helene, which is forming there right off of Cancun.
See, they're saying, and this is in the last couple of...
in Florida Thursday evening.
In the last couple of hours, Dan, they are saying that John triggered life-threatening downpours and flooding that have slammed into Mexico's Pacific coastline.
Mm-hmm.
And when is it going to hit Florida?
Well, Helene...
And that's the... It's a tropical storm now, but by the time it gets near Cancun, it'll be a... Cat 1,
and they're looking at it's going to become a Category 3 as it moves up towards Florida. That will arrive in Florida, the center of the storm, Thursday evening.
God, there's video on Twitter, and I'll retweet this. I don't know if I can find it on Facebook, of the interior of what looks like a hospital or a large office complex, like think skyscraper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you've got two of the roundabout doors, and then you've got the main double doors, you know, like the breezeway.
Yeah.
Okay. The hurricane comes in and just blows the doors off. And you tend to think Category 3. Well, it's only a Category 3.
Is this John you're talking about? The one on the west coast of Mexico?
This is John. Yeah.
Okay. And then the one that's in the Gulf of Mexico, Dan, that is Hurricane Helene.
Tropical Storm Helene right
Helene.
Now.
Okay.
It'll soon be a hurricane.
And
John is basically just a tropical system right now. Tropical storm, 35-mile-per-hour winds, but a lot of rain.
We're bouncing all over the map here.
Listen to this, Dan. This says John has essentially pulled an Otis, going from a low-end storm to a landfalling major hurricane in 24 hours. Perhaps most disturbingly, it's making landfall in an area not even in the forecast cone this time on Sunday.
Yeah, go home, John. You're drunk.
Right.
Dan, you've been to South Carolina, you've been in Florida, you've been at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Have you ever been in a hurricane?
Oh, I've been in like 14.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Were you holding a microphone and leaning into the wind?
The first one
While two other men were walking behind you, just minding
casually.
Their own business?
In gym shorts.
My first hurricane was David in 1979 in Savannah, Georgia. I've been in a number of hurricanes and the aftermath of hurricanes.
I've never been in a single one.
Yeah, I was down in Honduras right after Mitch.
Oh, I'd forgotten about Mitch.
One.
You know, my grandparents, because my parents are in Biloxi, because my grandparents were in Biloxi, because his last stop at his last military...
You stay where you stop.
Stop was, mm-hmm. And they loved it down there. But they obviously survived all of them, but almost did not survive Camille,
mm-hmm.
because you know, when you live down there, Dan, you sort of get used to the hurricanes. I would say in the last 20 years, people have gotten a lot smarter about it.
It's part of life.
She would just, they would say, we're going to hunker down, or we're going to try to get to the high school gymnasium. They didn't have a basement. Not that that would matter. They didn't have a storm shelter. They would just go to the high school gymnasium. And I remember my mom, like when I was little, getting very concerned around Camille. And I think Charlie was another one down there. And they almost did not make it in time. And it's not because of the weather. It's because of the backup with traffic, Scott.
Oh, sure. Everybody trying to get out. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They even opened up the highways one direction to get out. It didn't matter. And people were running out of gas. My aunt fainted. And they were so stressed out that they were going to get caught on the roads. And then after Camille, they didn't mess with it anymore. They would drive 3 hours north and get away from it.
25, 26 years ago, and I can't even remember the name of the storm. I was working in South Carolina, and there was another storm coming, supposed to make a beeline to Charleston, kind of like Hugo had years before. So everyone was a little nervous. And so they turned I-26 one way.
Yep.
From the coast, everyone's supposed to funnel in and just take I-26 up towards Columbia, South Carolina. And it was like a 16-hour adventure for some people. to go
for a drive that would normally be an hour and a half,
basically 2 hours. Yeah.
And where does everybody stay once they get into?
Good luck.
Keep going
in your car, or you keep driving, Scott. I mean, honestly, that's what you do.
Hotels, friends, you disperse.
The one thing that always bothered me, Dan, especially after Katrina, people would say, "Ding-a-lings, why didn't you just leave?" It is so much more complicated than that. When you actually talk about, okay, you have elderly relatives, or you have pets, you have jobs, hourly workers, you have transportation issues. Like, I can't just get up and leave. There are so many people down there that are impoverished that for us to say, "Well, why didn't you just get in your car and leave?" is really not.
Well,
you're looking through incredibly privileged rose-colored glasses when you are thinking that.
Well, every time I tell, if I meet somebody, a stranger or something, out of town, and they're like, "Where are you from?" I'm, Kansas City. "Oh, do you ever get worried about all those tornadoes and everything?"
You're like, "No, I survived one."
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
My plastic owl survived.
Well, it's a cat one,
Kane. I've actually been in one.
A tornado?
Yeah.
So have I, Dan.
Okay.
So anyway, your story.
Never mind. They're minimalizing my survivorship.
What do you say to the people when they say, "Oh my God, have you survived a tornado?" And you say yes, and then what do you say?
I haven't gone out of town since a tornado nearly destroyed my home.
Can I tell you about Germany?
God.
You ever not worn underwear?
All right. 913-586-7798. That is the story that will remain untold. 913-586-7798.
Add it to the list.
Wow.
There is no one on the show right now I consider a friend. Not one person. 586-7798. Stuart here from Fox News. Connecticut Sun Guard, and I think I'm pronouncing her name right, but if I'm not, forgive me. DeJounte Carrington stuck her long fingernail into Caitlin Clark's eye during the Suns' 93-69 win over the Indiana Fever Sunday in the WNBA playoffs.
Have you seen the video?
I have not.
I don't like the verb stuck. I'm going to go with jabbed and tried to kill her eyeballs out of her head.
Carrington struck Clark while trying to block a pass from Clark in the first quarter. Slow motion footage showed Carrington bending her right hand while coming down from the block attempt, pointing her nails in Clark's face. No foul was called on the play.
I didn't see anything intentional when I looked at the clip.
Sam, here's the problem. Whitlock tweeted about this live when it happened and was screaming about it, and then today wrote about it. He said, "Why is this not assault?" This is Jason Whitlock. "Why is this not assault? And why are they allowing any women in the WNBA to have nails that, I mean, the really long pointed?"
Well, and that's the new trend, is these longer, and they point, they literally, they're not real nails. They're fake nails.
No, some of them are real,
okay,
Scott.
Okay, well, then and if they're real, they cut them to look like points.
They look ridiculous.
Like an arrowhead.
Yes. And so that's a weapon. And so you think, like, in, give me another example, like in football, you're not allowed to do what? So because someone could grab that and it could cause injury.
There aren't any restrictions. You can wear jewelry and they can grab that and tackle you with it.
You can pull somebody, and they have before, you can pull a football player down by their long hair.
Did there used to be a rule about hair and hair length because of that, or no?
No. Troy Polamalu got pulled down by his hair all the time.
Wow. Carson Steele is going to be pulled down by his hair at some point.
You leave that Carson Steele.
I'm just telling you, your hair, if it extends outside of your helmet, is part of your uniform.
Okay. Let it fly, they're going to grab it.
But that's different than your very long pointed fingernails, which are scalpels.
I don't disagree with you at all. Now, I don't believe you're allowed to wear rings in the NFL, for
example.
There
you go. Something that, like, when you're pushing, could be weaponized is the word I'm looking for.
Yes. Yes. And I would have no problem with the WNBA saying your fingernails cannot extend past the skin at the tip of your finger.
That's a great analogy. Think about the NBA and those men. What if all of a sudden we said you can wear gigantic championship rings while you're playing basketball? That becomes something you could weaponize.
Well, Jordan would be weighted down so much he wouldn't be able to play.
Well, they would never do that because that would get in the way of their ability to play the game.
Carrington says she did not intentionally try to give Clark a black eye. Quote, I don't even know why I would intend to hit anybody in the eye.
Because people are mean to her.
They are very mean to Caitlin Clark.
She's the most hated player in the WNBA.
That is correct.
Explain that to me, Sam. That is so ridiculous. It's because of her that everyone's salaries are going up in the same way.
They're jealous.
That because of Tiger Woods, all of the golf purses skyrocketed.
Well, their salaries haven't gone up yet.
They should be thanking her.
They did go from buses to private jets when it comes to going to games. Mm-hmm. And they hate her because they're all like, we've been here for years actually doing great things. Not that she's not doing great things, but we got no recognition for it. And now you're here getting
fault.
All the recognition for
that's
it.
That's not her fault.
But like I said, they're jealous because now, because of her, they are selling out all their games. Anywhere she goes, that team that they're playing against,
yes,
whether it's the Mercury or the Sun or whomever.
It makes sense for an athlete to be ticked off about that. They should be going, oh my gosh, well, this is incredible. What an incredible watershed moment for women's sports.
Yes. Her own teammates, when she showed up late to a press conference because she was signing autographs, said, oh, thanks for showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the microphone.
Wow.
Because they're jealous, you know? I mean, that's just the way it is. To Sam's point, they've been toiling away for all these seasons, trying to get recognized, to get fans to come into these arenas, and here comes this new kid out of Iowa.
Shattering records.
I don't disagree. By the way, you look very nice in your mature sweater.
Thank you.
Mature.
Sorry. Bonus hour is next. Don't forget to check out the podcast. Dana and Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, ladies and gentlemen, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!